Rachel and I were sitting in our hotel near Entebbe Airport, glued to the TV while our children, then aged 4 and nearly 7, played. It was our last night in Uganda after almost exactly 4 years, and we were returning to England to live in London. And it was 7-7. On that terrible day in 2005, Islamist extremists bombed 3 tube trains and a bus, killing 52 and injuring over 700. As we watched the reports in impotent horror 4,000 miles away, it struck us that these atrocities seemed to form a semicircle around our new address. I'd passed through each location hundreds of times. I was not present that day, yet some friends and family were. My brother was actually sitting on the train immediately ahead of the one that exploded at King's Cross. There was a grim irony to it all. A handful of friends had been alarmed by our move to Africa with 2 tiny people in tow. Zana, our daughter, was only 10 weeks old, fearing that it would be too dangerous. Of course, every continent has its no-go areas, and perhaps Africa has more than many, but we were remarkably safe in Kampala. So it was more a reflection of their lack of personal experience of the region rather than anything else. Yet now, here we were preparing to return at the very moment when central London had become a war zone. As it happened, normal flights were quickly resumed, and we moved into our flat a month later. Our furniture came by sea freight and didn't arrive until late October, but apart from that, everything went without a hitch. Until my mind seemed to fall apart. I had returned for a dream job, to be on the senior ministry team of All Souls Langham Place, working again with the then newly installed rector, Hugh Palmer, who'd also be my boss when we lived in Sheffield, complete with a generous agreement of 6 weeks a year to work for Langham Partnership. Yet I was in a bad place. Hugh kindly allowed me to delay my start, so, appropriately enough, my first day was All Souls Day, 2nd of November. We all probably assumed the issue was reverse culture shock. That was partly it, of course, but it didn't explain everything. Eventually, I knew I needed professional help. A psychiatrist soon diagnosed me with a form of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and prescribed medication with incrementally increasing doses over the coming weeks. PTSD is perhaps most commonly associated with military veterans returning from the battlefield, but it is not exclusive to soldiers. I was very soon prescribed quite rapidly increasing doses of medication. I sense that mental illness resembles a bone fracture. Bones have remarkable durability, but also, once broken, can rapidly heal and be reset. With normal daily use, one might never be aware of past problems. But a healed bone may or may not be as robust as it was before the break. A vulnerability still remains, the constant potential for a repeat fracture, which is why caution is always necessary. Depression, and indeed the whole gamut of mental illness, is so varied that generalizations are rarely helpful. It can strike at almost any age, individuals from all walks of life, temperaments, and ethnicities. It is no respecter of the divisions that bedevil human society. Sometimes there are obvious causes or triggers, often there are none at all. Its roots perhaps lost in the remotest strata of our genetic inheritance. Sometimes the affliction disappears as mysteriously as it arrives. It can stop people completely in their tracks, perhaps becoming so acute that it leads to periods of hospitalization. For some, it is mercifully brief, for others, chronic, but somehow compatible with a semblance of normal working life. For me, it has been an ongoing, ever-present consciousness, a constant ache with occasional stabbing pains. I don't have great highs, though occasionally I envy the thought of them, until I remember that for friends with the likes of bipolar disorder, these can be just as hard to navigate as the lows. So this is not a book about a great cure, still less a wonderful deliverance. Although I do believe that will come in the end. This is written while still on the journey. I write as a Christian believer who strives to hold to what creedal Christianity has stood for over centuries. I write as a Christian minister with the pastoral responsibilities and concerns that brings. which is to say that I never try to duck the difficulties or pain, because that serves nobody's best interests.